This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Thanks for joining us today, and I'm very pleased to have Michael Papa as our guest today. He's a strategic partner with Convergent, but his career has primarily been in independent schools, along with a military career in the Navy, and all of that comes to bear for our conversation today. He has a 40-year reputation as a successful academic leader. He's developed strategies for funding for independent schools, strategic planning, change management for those independent schools. He describes himself as a builder with a growth mindset, who understands the subtleties of independent school climates and cultures. And he served as head of school for several independent schools in South Florida, Gulliver Schools and Palm Beach Day Academy, for example. And he serves as an advisor to the Florida Independent Schools through the Florida Council of Independent Schools. So, Michael, you were a captain in the U.S. Navy, and I understand that you were in the intelligence realm of the Navy. Tell us how that has helped you in your work with independent schools.
It's helped me immeasurably. As an intelligence officer, you are either collecting information, analyzing and assessing information, or disseminating information, all leading towards making decisions that are either tactical, operational, or strategic. And when you think about strategic planning, it's very much a similar process in that you are gathering information from the community through constituent groups. You're collecting and analyzing that information. And once you've analyzed it, you establish certain goals, objectives, and tactics to achieve the goals of the strategic plan. I feel as if those years I spent as an intelligence officer prepared me immeasurably for the kind of work I would need to do as a leader of an independent school.
I would imagine some of your work in the Navy might be classified. I would imagine you don't find that's true in the independent school world.
Well, it depends. There are some donors and investors that would rather remain anonymous. And so occasionally you have to keep things to yourself.
What are the key steps that need to be taken with strategic planning, and how are there missteps that you've seen?
The biggest mistake made is to expect that process to be a short process, something that you could gather a few key people together, a few board members, a few critical members of the community and staff members, put them in a room for a weekend and hash out a strategic plan from those key people. That's kind of the traditional way in which strategic planning had been done. And what it does is, it puts together a plan, but not necessarily the right plan, not necessarily the plan that the community itself wants and demands and will support eventually, because ultimately you're going to need to go from a strategic plan with goals to build into those goals objectives and tactics that are going to need to be implemented over time, whether that's 3 years or 5 years. It's going to need to be implemented, and those folks that are going to need to implement or support those tactics and objectives to meet those goals need to feel as if the direction that has been taken is the appropriate direction. Engaging a broad group of folks over a period of several weeks is more in line with the kind of strategic planning that is successful today. It's more like a charrette than it is classical strategic planning. In a charrette, you bring the entire community together and listen to what the community says they need. And then you build your strategic goals, objectives, and tactics with their help and engagement. It takes time, it takes a bit of patience, and a lot of listening. And often we're too quick to go after the objective and not spend enough time on developing the process and making the process work for us, because that process really builds a stronger community. Not just meeting objectives and goals and tactics, but building a strong community in that process.
I would imagine an independent school operates much like colleges and universities. You have alumni that you're trying to continue to engage. And then I would imagine occasionally you may have a wealthy potential donor or investor that says, hey, I've got some friends. We've had children in this school, or I attended this school, and why don't we do this? Build a indoor swimming pool or a new football field. Have you ever had that happen? And how do you approach that?
Happens all the time. There's generally someone out there that has a particular idea about the direction the school needs to go, because maybe their child is particularly interested in that sport or that particular activity within the school. Sometimes, you know, it's the right thing to do to say, yes, we'll accept that gift. But often it's not. Often it takes the school and the focus in a direction that isn't necessarily the right direction to meet the vision and plan that the school has already put in place. And it's difficult to say no to a gift, but sometimes you have to. And I have had experiences before in which I've had to turn down a gift because it was going to redirect the community in a way that would take us off the path we needed to go on. The hope is that you convey that in a way that doesn't lose the support of that donor at the same time. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Oftentimes you're forced to say no.
I guess the hope is that you could potentially redirect those dollars or pique that person's or that group of individuals' interest in some other arena, I would think.
That's the hope, that you can do that. But a lot of it depends on how convinced they are that this particular thing is necessary or not.
Well, a long time ago, I had children that were in an independent school, and we had the bake sale or the auction. Struck me at the time as not all that impactful in terms of the dollars. What's the best way to raise money?
I think that as an independent school, trying to build a culture of philanthropy, from the moment you begin your marketing efforts to bring families in to take a look at your school, all the way through to the admissions process, the orientation process, and the constant engagement back and forth between the school and families, and even all the way through to the departure process and becoming an alum or a parent of an alum, throughout that entire kind of cycle of a family going through the school, you're trying to get them to understand that the contributions they make allows the school to grow and build program and facilities in a way that supports their child and future children and staff in meeting the objectives and visions vision of the school. And in doing that, often it begins with bake sales and auctions and events that attract the families in because they're getting along with giving. But the hope is through that constant engagement with those families and the education that comes along with that engagement, you convince them to move from just event givers to participating in the annual fund of the school, where they make contributions because they recognize those contributions are going to build program that will help their children, give the school additional resources, financial resources to grow even within a particular academic year. And then if you're really successful, those that have the financial capacity move to a major gifts category where they make larger contributions that may allow the school to build facilities or may endow particular programs. And if you've really been impactful in the lives of that family, contributions may eventually come through estate giving, because independent schools like colleges and universities have become generational. You are sending your child to this school, but it's most likely the school you went to as well. the children that graduate from this school now will likely send their grandchildren to the school or their children to the school. I know the school that I left, we're on the third generation of families coming back to the school, and that engagement continues with those families well after their children graduate, because they know they want that school to be there for them and for their children and grandchildren in years to come, and they want it to continue to grow and prosper.
For a major project, often feasibility studies are done. Would a feasibility study be a part of a strategic plan, undertake this big project, or does the feasibility study in of itself serve the purpose to set the table for a campaign?
I think feasibility studies and capital campaigns are very much like strategic planning. I think that they're more focused. They have a specific objective in mind, and that is to build a particular building or develop particular programs. But the process is very much the same process in that you engage the constituents in a conversation about the direction the school needs to take, whether that direction is building particular buildings which allow for particular growth in programs or not. But the broader that engagement occurs in the feasibility study, beyond just a few major givers, the more likely you're going to build support for that effort when the actual capital campaign begins. It's not just about the major givers. It's about all the small gifts that will come from the community when the feasibility study and capital is finished and the capital campaign is rolled out. You want to be certain that you've engaged enough of the community that they're on your side as you take that direction. Both a capital campaign and feasibility study and strategic planning, the two kind of go hand in glove with one another.
Do you find the organization, the school, eager to get the project done, and there's a temptation to short circuit or take shortcuts in that process?
Often the focus is on outcome and not on process. And certainly when you focus on outcome, you certainly can build that building or develop that program, but will it be the right one? Will the community support it? Is it the direction that the school needs to go? That is better determined through extensive process of conversation than to just go after a particular objective. I think your example of the swimming pool was a good one, in that school could be offered an indoor swimming pool, but that may not be what the school needs. Maybe the school needs a chapel because the mission of the school is involved in religious education, and there's no chapel in the school. Think how the community would respond to the building of a swimming pool instead of a chapel if the mission is one of religious education.
What about raising money for an endowment? Is that pretty challenging? Is it difficult to raise money for that purpose?
Yes. The person that gives to endowment is someone who has been cultivated and engaged in conversation over an extended period of time and feels a strong bond with the school and the school's mission. One of the things that I like about Convergent is they talk about investors rather than donors. They talk about making an argument for why you should invest in a school, as opposed to donating. And I believe that approach, that rational approach to it makes sense to invest because there's going to be continued growth and development that's going to help the community, that's going to help my family, that's going to help future generations of my family, and therefore I'm going to do that. And once you develop that kind of mindset of this is an investment for the future that's going to help not only help me now, but help others maybe of my within my family and other families in the future in the community, you're more likely to get people to make an endowment investment because they recognize that it really is securing the future. It probably took a great deal of engagement to get to that point where somebody understands that level of investment.
You're an advisor to the Florida Council of Independent Schools. Convince me of the value of having an outside counsel to help with your fundraising efforts?
I believe you need both. To just use the internal resources of your development or advancement office alone is a good idea, nor do I believe it's a good idea to just leave it to outside folks to do it. I think that there's a combination of skill sets and knowledge that come together when they work in concert with one another. The people within the organization, within the school and the school community understands the investor, understands their priorities, understands their interests and idiosyncrasies, if you will. And the outside support understands the approach, the way to go about it, cultivate the ask, build the story more effectively of the school and what is possible through that investment. And I think when the two work together effectively, objectives get met. I think when one or the other does it, I think they leave a lot on the table.
What's your prognosis for independent schools? What's the state of the independent school world today?
Often I feel as if maybe being an independent school educator that I've just worked with taking the cream off the top of students in the country. And that's not to say that independent schools don't offer financial aid for students to come that may be families may be financially challenged. There's an advantage beyond just financial resource that independent schools have. And that is they build a school around a mission statement. They build their school around the development of a unique community. And then they attract individuals from within the broader community that buy into that mission. So when you have a group of people that all feel, or for the most part, feel that they're on a common path and have a common purpose, more can be achieved. So independent schools can achieve so much more, not just because they have the financial resources and the financial capacity of the families that attend those schools, but because of the central mission of those of that independent schools. Each independent school builds its own mission statement around what it believes the community needs. And if it's built that mission statement well, it grows and develops within that broader community. And if you look at independent schools throughout the country and read their mission statements, the most successful ones are the ones that are truest to their mission and understand the communities in which they serve.
And that sounds to me like a recipe for success for any nonprofit organization, honestly.
Definitely is.
Well, thanks for your insights, Michael Papa, an advisor to independent schools, long career in the independent school world, and a strategic partner of Convergent Nonprofit Solutions. For more insights about fundraising to help your organization, Convergent is on the web with fundraising help. Click on the resource tab at the top of the homepage at convergentnonprofit.com. That's convergentnonprofit.com. Thanks for listening.